So as I shared with the children, Jacob's story is a little bit of a wondrous tale. You'd almost think they would make a movie out of it as he moves from one adventure to the next. And he seems to be quite a character of cunning and almost wily, like Wile E. Coyote, except Jacob succeeds where Wile E. Coyote never seemed to with Roadrunner. So Jacob, having stolen both his brother's birthright and his brother's blessing, has to get out of town pretty fast, but he also has to be married. So they're arranging this marriage in Haran, and he is going to go to Laban and hopefully get this arranged. So on his way, that's a good excuse to get out of town. On his way, he's getting ready to leave the promised land, and he lays down and goes to sleep. So this vision that he has in the midst of this dream is the one just before he leaves. And later in Genesis, he has another vision just before he comes back. But it really is fairly interesting to me that God would choose Jacob, this wily man, to be the one who becomes Father Israel and begins to form the nation of Israel. But always remember, as we read stories, and especially in the Old Testament, we need to pay attention to the midst of what is going on. When the people are hearing this story, there is only one Israel. So they're hearing their founding father stories, just like we tell the founding father stories of the United States. They are telling the founding father stories of Israel, while they're a monarchy, while all the promises that we heard God giving Jacob have been, as they saw it, fulfilled. Now, this promise that God gives him in this dream, this blessing that God has done it to Abraham. In fact, we heard, if you read in Genesis 12, 15, and 18, God blesses Abraham three times and makes this promise three times. God then visits upon Isaac and offers the same blessing and promise again. So we're hearing that this blessing and promise for this family comes from God. And now Jacob. Jacob, in the midst of running away, receives this dream and this blessing and this promise. So let's just spend a few minutes in the midst of this blessing and this promise and this dream. Because when I first thought about it, my head and heart went to, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." And I went and looked at the verses and I went, "That's not what this ladder's about. This ladder isn't about us moving up to heaven. This ladder is about an open communication, because the scripture says the angels are going up and down." So what we're hearing is God is continually speaking to us. Angels coming down with God's word, going up with all of our petitions, coming back down with God's word. So that ladder is sort of like a cell phone tower, where communication is going to where we need it to go, and it's being received from where we need it to be received. Except this is the this is a cell tower to God. This is God speaking, and as his dream unfolds, I love how it says, he was right there. He was right there. The Lord stood beside him and made the promises. And he blesses him. And he tells him that he will be with him until that promise is fulfilled. So he's basically telling Jacob, no matter what happens, you're going away. You're going into a foreign land. Who knows what's going to happen over there? That's part three. Whatever happens, I am with you in the midst of it all. And I'm going to bring fulfillment to my promises, which, if you read between the lines, that means you might be having a little bit of trouble where you're going. You might think that your plans and my plans are not going to work. Trust me. That's what God tells him. So then Jacob wakes up. And I always feel like he must have woken up in wonder, because that was quite a dream and quite a vision. So he wakes up in wonder, and he's a little bit scared, but suddenly he realizes, oh my goodness, God is here in this place. This place is awesome. Sort of like some of our campers at Camp Dawn, at Camp Carr Lake. This place is awesome. Do we have to go home? I imagine he didn't want to move. Have you ever had those moments when God just kind of rushes God upon you? The Holy Spirit is there, and it's this moment of complete peace. You don't want to step out of it. He didn't want to step out of that place. But he also, as he wakes up in wonder, he recognizes he needs to mark it. He needs to set up a shrine to remember that this place, God spoke to me. So he took his very warm, comforting pillow called the rock and poured oil on it. And it talks about in the scriptures, I'm just going to give you a little bit of history here, that this stone, this place called Bethel, there was a temple there in later years. And what the historians who shared this story with us are sharing is how that place was picked. Why was that place picked? Because God revealed to Jacob in that place the plans that God had for him. He woke up in wonder. And I imagine he woke up changed. In early worship, Janice was sharing the fact that when God appears and speaks to us, you know change is going to happen. Whether it's an inward change or an outward change. If God speaks, change is going to happen. Because God spoke the world into being from nothing. So if God speaks, something's going to happen and something's going to change. So I'm assuming Jacob has changed in that moment. So when we think about our lives of faith, when we think about whether or not we're called or equipped or acquiring the things that we need to be the Jacobs or the Isaacs or the Abrahams, do we often think we don't have what we need? Do we often think we're unworthy? Do we think God wouldn't pick me? God wouldn't desire for me to be a leader in the church. God wouldn't desire for me to be the chair of PPRC. God wouldn't desire me to serve a particular need in my community because I'm not worthy. Well, Jacob reminds me a little bit of my husband, who the vice principal in high school had these chairs. And Leo's name was engraved on one of them because he seemed to always be getting in trouble. So he always ended up in the vice principal's office. So why would God choose Leo to be who Leo is and do the things that we all know Leo does for the kingdom? When he was, like I've told you before, I dated the bad boy. He was a bad boy. We might even say he was one of those weeds. Remember the parable of the wheat in the weeds? We might have called him a weed. We might have called Jacob a weed. You know, who do we label weeds? Why not? When we judge one another as either the wheat, the ones that provide seed and good fruit, and these people are the weeds, we might be prejudging what really is wheat and what really is weed. Because I understand the wheats and the tares, that particular parable, the two look alike. Is that correct? The wheats and the tares look somewhat alike. Now you got to go look it up and see if I lied. So the wheats and the tares look very similar. So not only do you have to worry about pulling up wheat when you pull up the tare, you might be pulling up the wrong thing. Especially some of the clergy I've done some gardening with didn't know a weed from the tomato plant. So, you know, you have to be careful who you go weeding with. But God's the one in the end who says who is going to be the one who produces fruit and who is not. God knows what we are gifted with, and they don't have to be great gifts for God to use them. Because God created us just as we are. God wants to use us just as we are. Some of us have great gifts, like great cake bakers. And I've seen the faces of the elderly who are shut in, who receive an angel food cake or a pineapple upside down cake. And they are so excited. Why isn't that the work of God in God's kingdom? So I thought about this, church. I thought about the people I know who might be Jacobs that God has used. And when I was like Janice, an intern at Central United Methodist Church on the corner of 3rd and Howard in Spokane, Washington, there was a woman who was 82 years old who had helped institute Meals on Wheels in that city when she was younger. But at 82, she said, "We've got homeless who are hungry." And she started a feeding ministry at Central at 82. Or T. James, one of the men who came in who was a convicted pedophile, whose change from the encounter with God, whose change brought forth at one point a wedding so that he had a spouse. He was our janitor. Why is not the work of cleaning God's house work for the kingdom? And I learned so much about grace and forgiveness through T. James. Or Melissa at Gang Free, who we met this week, who sees the need in Flint Hill for a place where children can come and feel, be safe and learn that gangs isn't the only way to have safety. Or Daryl and Kenny, if anyone's ever met Daryl and Kenny from Community Partners of Hope. They were homeless at one time, and now they are the shelter managers at a homeless shelter. God uses us broken and battered and bruised for his kingdom purposes. So why do we spend the summer learning about Jacob and eventually we're going to learn about Joseph? Why do we learn these stories? Because we can't be Jesus Christ imperfect. He was the only one. But Jesus Christ called those disciples as imperfect as they were. And God's church came into being. God's whole story of love is loving an imperfect people and calling them to be perfect in love. God's calling each and every one of us for encounters where we can wake up and wonder, what is it you're going to do with me today, God? I'm ready. I'm here. Let's go. Let's go transform the world just by transforming one another. Because, Lord, you have transformed my life. So I wonder what happens to Jacob next. Stay tuned. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.